Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello and welcome to an hour of Mind Power. Well, we're going to start this week off with learning how instead of swimming with the sharks, we're going to learn how to be a shark. Yes. And for those of you who have been listening to my talking about Sharky Zartman, this is a young lady who has just done so much in her life, especially when it comes to sports. She is a former USA national team member in volleyball, an All-American athlete, and at UCLA, she was a member of the first national championship team and was named as one of the 25 all-time greats for women's volleyball. This is an interesting lady that's got an attitude. Sharky Zartman, welcome to the show.
Oh, thanks so much, Donna. I'm so happy to be here.
Well, I really enjoyed your book.
Thank you.
I have to tell you, I have never, ever known anybody with the first name of Sharky. Ever.
Yes, people don't usually forget my name. They go, what did you say?
That's right. And I'll tell you, I think your book, Shark Sense, Getting in Touch with Your Inner Shark. First of all, I love the illustrations. This sweet little feminine shark that has this flower, a hibiscus flower, over the top of her head and these long eyelashes, and she's sitting under an umbrella sipping a martini with an olive in it. Who did your art? This is just so cool. Who did this?
Actually, I had a graphic artist when I was originally working on the book, and we decided we wanted to, you know, change the image of sharks from being so scary and horrific and, you know, and just make it something that was different and desirable. And so we came up with her. She's cute, huh?
She's adorable. She's absolutely adorable. I mean, I never knew a shark could be so appealing and so at the same time. I mean, this is really good. For those of you listening thinking that we've got two women here that have gone bonkers, not really, because Sharky is not only, as I introduced her, a great athlete, but she also is someone who has a real passion for life. And when she was given the nickname of Sharky, this was something that gave her an endowment. She never knew. Many people, Sharky, would say, gee, this animal is your totem. And I would say that's probably a very good analogy. How is it you got your name Sharky?
Actually, my dad named me that when I was a little baby. My given name, my birth certificate name is Charlene. But my dad decided to give all of us fun names. So we had Maureen, Charlene, Kathleen, Janine. My older sisters, Mo, I'm Sharky, Kath, and Jinx. So for some reason, Sharky stuck, and everybody just called me that. In fact, I've been called a lot of times just Shark. And when people yell that down at the water, it usually causes a commotion.
I can imagine, especially after some of the movies that have been made. Now, before we get into your interest in actually saving this fabulous animal, which is being slaughtered at a phenomenal rate, I want to talk about your story. Because right at the very beginning of your book, and I quote, you say, sharks do not know how to have a divided mind. And to the best of our awareness, they don't have self-doubt. Nothing bogs them down. And they don't depend on anyone for survival or expect life to be fair. Now, those words really are quite powerful because the depiction of a shark, usually there are fewer people killed by sharks than bumblebees, but it has just created through the centuries this horrific fear, and movies have really added to it in the modern world. But this is a creature that is so necessary to the balance of the ocean. And your component of observation relative to this creature, why, I know you got the name Sharky, but there really is more behind in that name. Your dad maybe gave you this totem, if you will, for a reason. Did he ever tell you why?
You know, I was always, from just when I was really little, I was always kind of a tomboy. And when I was growing up, it wasn't really, what I want to say, popular to be an athlete, to be a girl playing sports. It was more about feminine things. And I just didn't want to do that. I wanted to, you know, in school, I didn't want to be a cheerleader. I wanted to be the one they were cheering for. I wanted to be an athlete. And so I think maybe, you know, that kind of helped me because I had some different kinds of desires and goals from the other, you know, girls that were my age. And, you know, I had this name where, you know, I was different as well, and I had to be kind of tough to be able to deal with my name because a lot of people treated me a little strangely because of my name. And so I think it did help me to be tougher, yes.
You talk about having attended a workshop that was on weight loss and nutrition. And this one of the speakers, you said, at this workshop was very, very clear. He said, if you want to lose weight, take off all your clothes, look in the mirror, and tell yourself you're responsible for this. And people started throwing tomatoes at him.
Because yes.
He wasn't saying, oh, here, take this purple and green pill, and this is going to make you lose weight, or blah, 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 blah. He was really making a statement about personal responsibility, and that is a story that you illustrated so that people become aware that they have to be authentic with themselves. Don't blame
right.
your family, don't blame your dog, don't blame God, don't blame anybody. Really take an honest look at where you are. You used the example of weight, but where you are, what is it that you need to really look at so that what you call the inner shark can come out. And someone might say, oh, Donna, that's a terrible thing to say. Do you know what sharks do? They chew people up. They kill things. They eat them up. They do all these things. That's not nice. That's not nice. Counter, Sharky.
You know what? It's so important to be authentic with yourself because you're all you've got, and you can only be your best self. And I think it's just really hard when people start not realizing their goals or getting what they want, and they're so ready to blame everything else and everybody else. And there's no power in that. There's absolutely no power in that. It's not until we, just like I said in the story, take an honest look at ourselves and say, I'm responsible for this and I'm the only person that can fix this, where we actually get in touch with our inner source of strength and power. And that's what I call your inner shark, because it's there for you. It's there for you to move you towards your goals as long as you're passionate about them, as long as you're willing to take the responsibility for moving after them, as long as you're tough enough that when you get knocked down, you're going to get back up. I mean, we are all here to be successful. We all have different reasons why we're here, different purposes, but we all have what it takes inside of us to be successful. And that's really what I use the shark for, is kind of a metaphor for that, getting in touch with that power, because a lot of people just, you know, they haven't been taught to do this. I mean, in society, we're so busy, and we see this at every level. We see people at every level blaming, their bosses, their teachers, their parents. It's an epidemic, and what they don't realize is they're just losing control and power over their lives and generally happiness.
I concur. Sharky, I really like a point that you bring out because I can relate to it, and that is the portion that you have on sharks don't ask for permission. And you call it the too common disease to please. And how many times are people indoctrinated, especially women, that this is what you're supposed to do? This you've got to make sure that everybody is pleased. You have a quote from Richard Mackiewicz, a former Navy SEAL, and I really like this quote, and I'm going to read it verbatim. "Stop looking to others to give you permission to go after the targets you want to knock down. You're your own master. Set the target up and then knock it down. It's really that simple. Once you stop waiting for permission, stop waiting for the perfect moment. Stop waiting until you can move perfectly. Stop saying you'd do it if only you had a sharper weapon. Stop waiting for the ideal situation. There is no such thing." Wow. That is a powerful paragraph. And, of course, coming from a SEAL, man,
that's
they know
right.
it. I mean, they're not given any margin for excuse. There is no excuse. Nada. Niet. Nein.
Yes, he was my Bukido instructor, and I'll tell you, he lives what he teaches, and it really is about, you know, knowing what you want. And there's so many things out there that are distracting us, Donna. Like you talked about women, and I am a community college professor. I teach health, and so I deal with a lot of women. And I'll tell you, the media is so unfair to women. I mean, all those. Images that are out there are not real, and then a lot of these, especially these young girls, feel like there's something wrong with them if they're not looking like that, and they're not even real, and then they get all the extra things from their friends, and you know, it really is important for women to not try to get in this disease to please and to look for approval. They have to find that in themselves, and you know, that's part of, you know, the project in terms of, you know, moving towards your goals is finding your best self, finding your source of power outside of what everybody else thinks of you.
Mm-hmm. And I really like, too, what you said about sharks swimming forward, because they do. They are they're creatures that are always on the go. That's part of their survival package. We learned, because of Jacques Cousteau, that as sharks actually do sleep, which was a surprise. Nobody ever knew that until he found it out in his research. So here we've got this understanding, and they're always on the go. They're always on the move because that's what they have to do. That is part of their job. And as human beings, we need to be aware of that. Now, you ask some good questions. You ask what past beliefs might be stopping one from progressing. What is the payoff to hold on to the belief? And what is the price we've paid to keep the belief alive? Is your belief truly coming from you or from someone else? And how would your life be different if you let go of the limiting belief? These are very powerful questions for someone to ask themselves. Very powerful questions.
Yes, I really do believe that people do need to ask those questions. And too many times we get stuck in the past. And I know that sometimes things, you know, happen that are, you know, very traumatic or whatever. But there's no power in just staying there. I mean, you talk about the shark moving forward. They don't, if something gets away from them, they don't stop and whine and moan about the one that got away. They just keep moving towards another one. And I think that that is a metaphor for what we can do. If we can just learn from the past and, you know, maybe not make the same mistake again and just keep moving forward towards our goals, we'd be so much happier.
I had to chuckle when I got to the chapter where sharks live to eat. I have seen on television a commercial that depicts Abe Lincoln and Mary Todd Lincoln, and Mary Todd is in one of the god-awfulest dresses I've ever seen in my life that anybody could put on a human body. And they depict her as being very short, and of course she's as wide as she is tall. She turns to lean Abe and says, "Do you think this dress makes me look fat?" And he says, "Now your husband did that with you." And you said, "Your husband never lies." What did he say to you?
You know, I had been putting on some weight and I didn't really notice it. And but my husband is, he's the most honest person in the whole world. And so I thought, gosh, well, maybe I should ask him. You know, he's truthful. He'll tell me. And then I said, "Pat, do you think I'm getting fat?" And he just put his hands on my shoulders, and he kind of looked down, and he looked back at me, and he goes, "Yes, but I think you're beautiful, and I love you just the way you are." And I didn't hear anything after what he said Yes, I just wanted to smack him.
He's what Mary Todd Lincoln wanted to do to Abe in the television.
I know.
So then you decided you were going to take the initiative, and you were the one that was going to be in charge of your space. And so then you said, make a comment that most of us have this habit of overeating anyway.
Right.
And I think just about everybody complete guilty, but I've got a Scottish Terrier who's much smarter than I am, and if he finds something that he doesn't like on his plate, he just sits down and he looks at me like, excuse me, I'd really prefer filet mignon. This is not doing it for me.
Right.
But he doesn't like his
plate. Animals,
overloaded.
I like that.
Yes,
animals will don't like to be overfed, but we do. Because we eat for other reasons. We eat for other mm-hmm. reasons other than just, eating to, for our bodies. We eat because we're emotional or upset, social. So I think in the book I talk about mindful eating because mm-hmm. A lot of times we're eating when we're not even aware that we're eating. We're doing so many other things. I had this friend once, we were at her party, and she had this bag of chips, and everybody was walking around, and she kept going to the bag and eating the chips, and at the end we were cleaning up, and she goes, who ate all the chips? And I go, you did. And she goes, I did not. And I go, yes, you did. None of us like chips. You ate the whole thing. And, mm-hmm. and she goes, really? And I go, yeah, let's see how many calories you consume. Well, there's 10 servings in there at like 250.
Oh,
we
boy.
Just don't know.
Mm-hmm. That's true. You really, that can happen, especially when you're under stress.
Right.
There is this aspect of, gee whiz, this is what I'm doing, and it's just going in. It's just amazing. So you have some very good comments on that. Another point that you bring out, you say sharks are relentless. Boy, I don't know of anyone that would argue with that, because when
right.
they focus on something, that is unbelievable determination. I mean, watch any movies on the big white or on any of the sharks. They just have that tremendous focus. Tell us why you use John Wooden as an example.
Well, because John Wooden basically understood focus and determination and persistence. That's what made him possibly one of the best coaches that we've ever known. Focus is whatever you need to do. Obviously, he was a great basketball coach, but a lot of times people are distracted when they're doing something in a sport, like maybe in basketball, maybe they're listening to the crowd or they're worried about the other team. And to actually really be able to focus is such an amazing ability to have for anything. Because it makes you more successful. I mean, if you can just hone in on one thing that is important to you and keep your attention there until you get it, that's an amazing trait. And obviously, sharks do have that.
Yes, they do. But you make also a comment that I think needs to be heard. There is no instantaneous leap to success. To real success in life, it is a progressive journey. And you make the comment, good work done little by little becomes great work. I think so many people, regardless of their age, would perhaps dispute that because they say, oh, I saw information about so-and-so, and they made it overnight, or they did this, or they did that. Aren't they lucky? They don't realize that maybe that person spent 20 years dedicated and committed to be able to do that level of excellence. People watch proteges. Yes, they may have a natural talent, but the natural talent can't do anything unless it's disciplined.
That's right. I think people a lot of times think, well, like you say, that success, just is going to happen overnight. And you research anybody who's been successful, they've gone through a lot to get there. They've gone through a lot of failures. I mean, they it really is a process, and once you finally do get there, you haven't arrived. There's something else that mm-hmm. you can do and become and help. And so, really, it's all about life moving forward and being patient and just knowing that if you don't stop, I always tell my students and my athletes that the persistence, keep going until you get what you want or something better. Mm-hmm. Because if you're along a path of success, doors are going to open. I mean, doors don't open if you are in a comfort zone, if you stay exactly where you are. But if you keep put yourself on a path to move forward, all of a sudden all these doors start opening for you, and sometimes it's better than the one you're going after.
Mm-hmm. And you just don't know. You have to be open and receptive and say, I'm just going to do what I have to do.
Exactly.
I just think that's great. I think of Harrison Ford, the actor, who before he became, quote-unquote, the hot star, of course, Indiana Jones really kicked his career off in big time, but I think it was him, and he was a carpenter. And he wouldn't give up his carpentry work because he had to eat.
I didn't know he was a carpenter. That's very cool.
I think it's Harrison Ford. I think that's who it is. And I think that's the actor. I might have him confused, but I don't think so. But he had a way that he had to make a living.
Right.
And he was, you know, worked with his hands, and he said, this is what I do, and this is how I'm going to do it. And he said, so I've become a star. I still, if that falls apart, I can still go back and build cabinets. I mean, it's just, you know, it's one of those things I don't feel people really have an awareness of. They really don't understand that it's that constant pushing. It's the same with Al Pacino. I did an interview with someone, and they said when he wanted to be an actor and he wanted to be the best, and whenever he had to do a role, he put himself into every environment that would allow him to really find out the essence of that role he was going to play. And that's why in Serpico, he did such a phenomenal job that it just escalated him. But he did anything and everything. That was his focus. So I use them as examples because people usually relate to movie stars. But I think it's in sports as well. I think any time those disciplines that you do and the following through, and again, you bring Coach Wooden out because you are an athlete. This is what you've done. You're in volleyball. And that takes a lot of discipline, a tremendous amount of discipline. Let's talk about what you mentioned just a moment ago, and that is growth happens when we're the most uncomfortable. Boy, is that the truth. What was your personal experience that really brought that point home to you?
You know, I think that a lot of times we complain when life is tough on us, when we, get challenges or we get roadblocks or we have people that knock us down. But really, those kinds of things a lot of times will make us so much stronger and so much more resolved in terms of moving towards whatever we're going after. And so I think sometimes these are like little angels in disguise. Like my volleyball coach when I was in high school, now volleyball was my passion, and she told me that I should quit because I wasn't very good. And that was a huge roadblock for me, and I really, that knocked me down really hard because I thought, well, gosh, if my coach thinks I should quit, I guess I should. But then it just activated something inside of me. It just went, hey, I want this more now than ever. And so I went out and found another coach who was a really hard coach. I've never been coached like that before. I mean, he meant business. And that's how I became successful. And 8 years after I met him, we got married. So you see, if I hadn't been knocked down, if she hadn't told me that, if I hadn't been hurt, I would have never gotten on this path. And I'm so glad I got on the path.
And your book, Shark Skin, Shark Sense, does share that love story. So people have to get the book. I'm not gonna give all the details on that. But that was so true. That was just amazing. And anyway, they've got to get the book to read that. You say, be on the lookout. Opportunities are everywhere. Sharks sleep with their eyes open. Let's address that topic.
Well, I had heard that before, and I didn't believe it when I was looking to do research for this little book. And I went down to the lagoon down at Long Beach, and I actually went to the shark tank and actually saw a shark down at the bottom of the tank. And he wasn't hardly moving, but his eyes were open, and he was just kind of, you could see the eyes kind of moving as fish were going by, and he was kind of watching us. And then all of a sudden, just out of the clear blue, he just he just made the fastest move I've ever seen, you know, towards food. And so I use that kind of as a metaphor for us to always be aware of what is going on around us, because sometimes, you know, things are very subtle, but there are little doors that are opening. There are opportunities that are coming our way. We put our intentions out there for what we want, and sometimes the opportunities are there, but we have to be aware. We have to stay awake and be ready to move towards them. And so, yeah,
I think an excellent example relating to this, which you've got to share, was the job that you had when an oversized woman came into the store looking for some jeans and found some she wanted to try on. I mean, I've heard a lot of stories about people in dressing rooms, but this one took the cake.
Oh, I tell this one to my students, they died laughing. I got a job when I was young that I thought was going to be the best job in the world. I worked at a shoe store that had clothes in the center of it. And this lady came in, and she wanted to try on some jeans. She tried to try on, I think, a size 8, and she wasn't a size 8 at all. Now, the dressing room that we had on the side was just a curtain where, I mean, it wasn't a dressing room. There weren't any mirrors. And so she took these jeans inside to try them on, and I said, they run a little small. She goes, it's my size. And so she was in the room, and, of course, everybody's out inside trying on shoes. And and somehow she got these things on, I don't know how, making all these noises. And she came out to show me, and the zipper was halfway up. And she's kind of asking how they look, and the look on my face must have said it all. And then all of a sudden I looked in the zipper. There was a huge cockroach that was stuck in the zipper that was being crushed alive. And I looked at it, and she went, what? And I went, oh, my gosh. And she looked down, and that was it. She just started yelling and screaming, get these things off of me. And I was trying so hard. I was hanging on the waistline. I was, you know, and then I just said, lie down. And so she got down, and I started pulling her around the floor, you know, by the bottoms of the jeans. And everybody was just watching. Nobody came over and helped her anything. And she ran out of the store in her underwear. And I got fired. From my dream job. I told him about the cockroach. I said, there was a cockroach in her pants, and we couldn't find it. The thing probably got smashed to smithereens. And so I lost my dream job. But, you know, I found another one that's a lot better that I really love. So,
well, as you can tell, Sharky has a good sense of humor, and some of her real-life experiences are just amazing. Her book, Shark Sense, Getting in Touch with Your Inner Shark, is really very well done. And I love the cover on the book. I love the material inside of it. Sharky, how can people find out more about you? And what's your website?
Well, I have a website, sharkyzartman.com. And my book's website is sharksense.org. And the book is available. Barnes & Noble has it in their stores and online, Amazon. So you can get it just about anywhere now. I'm so excited.
Well, you should be. It's well done. Wonderful stories in it from real-life experiences, Shark Sense, getting in touch with your inner shark. But it's a different perspective than maybe you would have expected. Of course, Sharky is a unique individual. She's one of a kind, as we all are. But she definitely loves sharing the message that your dream is something that you can actually attain. And she gives some wonderful tips. Sharky, it's been a delight having you as a guest. I'm so pleased to have had this opportunity to have you on the air with me. Go to her website, Sharky Zartman, Z-A-R-T-M-A-N, and Sharky is S-H-A-R-K-I-E, and then also go to sharksense.com, so you've got two sites to use. Again,
yeah,
Sharky, thank
org.
You so much.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
We are going to be taking a break. This is Donna Sebo. Don't go away. We're going to be right back.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Hi, this is Donna. Well, telephone lines are now open. Try 888-627-6008. If you would like to interact with me on the air and get a free reading, I would be delighted to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. Again, that's 888-627-6008. Well, the Donna Sebo Show is going to be traveling to New York City. For those of you that are listening, I am going to be making a trip to New York on the 14th and 15th of this month, and I'm going to be doing an appearance at the National Publicity Summit where I will be interviewing authors, but I'll also be available for private meetings with people. And if you would like to be in touch with me, if you're listening from New York and would like to have the opportunity to interact with me either by phone or in person, you can call me at my office, 253-582-5604. Shortly after that, I will be then heading on up to the far north to Fairbanks and Anchorage, Alaska, and I will be up there from the 19th to the 23rd. Now, you can go to my website. My newsletter has gone out. You'll find all of the details there. And again, for those of you that might be listening to me from Alaska, please know that all you have to do is call me at my office and we can set up a time to meet, 253-582-5604. Well, Sharky is just a doll, and I wanted to share with you a poem that she had in her book, and it was written by Donald Hertzeller, and he's a cancer survivor, and he's all about teaching people how to be successful in life, and this poem is called A Winner in Waiting. Are you beaten down by life? Have you lost another race? Were you second at the finish? Has life slapped you in the face? Is the world around you saying that you're just not good enough, that someone does it better, that you just don't have the stuff? I've got news for you, my buddy. Let me tell you what I know. I'm aware of all your talents. This defeat is but a blow. So get up off the canvas. Don't be jealous. Don't be mad. Focus once again on winning victories out there to be had. The loss comes only when you give up the fight, when you agree to be a loser, when you finally say, they're right. You are a winner now in waiting. First prize will come, my friend. Work hard and you will get it. The only question, when? Don't let others tell you different. They don't know you like I do. You're a winner. Don't forget it. The next champion will be you. Wonderful words. I think it's so important to have things like that handy, that you can look at and you can read, and that you can reinforce that part of yourself that is so vitally, vitally important. And that is focus on your strengths, not on your weaknesses. God knows we all have them, both of them, strengths and weaknesses. And there's a funny thing that occurs when you start focusing on your strengths, when you really start giving the best of what you have, then you're going to find that somewhere, at some point, at some time, someone's going to be paying attention to you and saying, I want this person as a part of my team. I want this person to be in my environment. I want this person because they're reliable, they're dependable. When we get stuck in archaic attitudes, feelings, thinkings, when we get down into our pity pots and we just wallow around in our little self, self-depreciating buckets of nothing, we really don't feel very good. So it's important for us to be able to recognize our accomplishments, no matter how small they might be or how great they might be, and realize that we're to step up to another level. We're to step up and to move on into another dimension of experience and growth. Remember that, because you're so special. You're very special. And you have been put into this experience of life to turn on your light and let it shine on other people. I know we've got a caller on the line. Let's go to this caller who's been waiting so patiently. Thank you very much. First name or initial, and where are you calling in from?
My name is Brett, and you want my last initial? Or?
It doesn't make any difference, Brent. You already gave me your name. That's fine. Where are you calling in from, Brent?
I'm calling from Ohio.
From Ohio. Well, welcome to the show. Brent, the first thing that I'm getting on you right off the bat is patience is the big word right now. You're taking care of a lot of small stuff, and this is irritating to you because I think you'd really like to take some giant steps right now. But you have gone you've gone through such a cleaning of house. That's how I'll describe it. You've been getting out what I call the bleach, the scrub brush, the soap, whatever it takes, you're saying, I've got to clean things up. Now, this is figuratively that I'm saying this and seeing this in my mind, but you're literally doing what needs to be done. And what's happened is that it has caused a lot of deep reflection on your part. And I really appreciate and respect that, because it takes courage to be able to stand still long enough while everything else and everyone else is buzzing around you to say, wait a minute, am I really paying attention to what I need to pay attention to? And you are right on. So keep on doing the little things that you've been doing, because what's happening is that you're clearing clutter out of your space. You are clearing...
I had a lot of old issues come up.
Well, and this is important. You need to be able to look at those issues, and you need to sort of be detached, where you can stand back and say, okay, this is what I could see as a lesson learned. Is there anything else of value that I can glean from this experience? And if not, okay, it goes into the shredder, goes into the universal shredder, and that's that. The key is for you to remember that you're never going to ever forget. But what you want to do is take the energy out of what would be denoted as negative, and you want to revitalize it and turn it around and make it work for you. So you take what you've observed as the lessons that you can benefit from, and then a lot of your fears are going to disappear, because you're going to find that without these experiences, you wouldn't be the person you are today. So you are really making some big strides forward in your life, and it's happening now. It's not necessarily 20 years from now. It is right now, because this is a pivotal period in your life. And so what you want to do, you want to deal with the facts. You want to have trust and confidence in yourself at being able to evaluate and assess proper information. And then you want to be able to move forward with the right action. So you've got a lot of work ahead of you during the remaining part of this year. This is a year to clean up the clutter. This is the year to take care of tying down any loose ends. This is the year of letting go of whatever may have been in your life, whether it is still there or not, that is not serving you well. whether it's a belief system, a person that may be in your life, or persons. It could be environments that you might find yourself in. You're the one that must make the choices. I want you to continue with your schooling. Your schooling is going to be very specialized, and this is going to be going on for the next 20 years in your life, as far as I can see. So you need to just make it okay. That's just going to be a part of your agenda. This is what you're going to be doing. This is how you're going to be learning. This is what's happening with you. So be aware. Be attentive. Take care of business now. Don't try to get so far ahead of yourself that you literally create chaos. Take one day at a time. Do what you can. Set your priorities. If you have to shift them, okay, you shift them. You're learning discipline right now, and this is vitally important for your success that is evolving over the next 15, 16 years. So what you're doing now makes the difference. Go ahead. Excuse me. I didn't mean to overlap you.
No, that's okay. Yeah, I wanted to ask you about my financial situation. I got a lot of irons, and I got a lot of financial transactions. I got a lot of financial irons in the fire that I'm waiting to come to fruition here, and that's one of the ways I expect to move ahead. You know, I'm planning to do some past life regression and some ascension classes as soon as I'm financially able to, but I'm waiting on these financial transactions to come down, and I'm hoping that's going to happen here in the next 30 to 120 days.
Well, you've got a little bit of something that's going to be coming in within the next 120 days. But what I would say is to you, you don't need to wait on doing these classes, even if you just start off with one or two students. What you do is start with one or two right now. Take care of what you can do right now so that you can work with the development of your program so that you iron out any bugs or, you know, and you get some feedback from people regarding it. So you don't need to have a huge budget to do a class. That's not what you need to do. You can just start off with just a couple of people. Start off now. Again, the planning and the organization for a good class presentation is vitally necessary. No question about that. Being a presenter myself, I know how vital that is. And then you just have to let things be, because this is a process of your learning. So relax about the financial irons that are in the fire. Not all of them are going to stay hot. Some of them are not even going to get to the point of getting lukewarm. But you've got some that are going to bring you a return. However, you need to start doing what you really want to do right now. Find a modality, an environment that allows you to do it. Do it so that you start gleaning what you need for yourself, and the rest will fall into place.
Okay.
Well, Brent, thank you for calling in.
Thank you for your read.
You're more than welcome. It's my pleasure.
Bye-bye.
This is Donna Sebo, and we're going to be taking a break in just a minute. And if you want to call in and chat with me, the telephone number to call in to is 888-627-6008. And just a quick reminder for those of you in New York, I'm going to be in New York on the 14th and 15th of this month, and I will be in, for those of you in Alaska, I'll be in Anchorage and Fairbanks between the 19th and the 23rd. This is Donna Sebo. We're going to be taking a break. When we come back, I'm going to be talking about John Wooden, one of the people that Sharkey had mentioned about in her book. This is a story relating to him, his family, and his attitudes. And it's really something that would touch your mind and heart. He was a great guy and made history with UCLA. This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. We're going to be back in just a moment.
Do you have children between the ages of 3 to 10? Do you love children's books and collect them? Then you'll want to know about God's Kiss, the award-winning illustrated children's book that has been enjoyed by families around the world. 15 beautiful illustrations by Pacific Northwest artist Ed Gedrose accompany this lovely story about a little boy named Johnny that will capture your heart and mind in a very special way. Multicultural, and non-denominational in content, it will become a family favorite that you and your children will want to read again and again. This book is available by itself through Amazon, or if you contact me, Donna Sebo, directly, you can get a personalized signed copy. There is also a talking book. You can order the talking book CD by contacting me via email, donna@delphiinternational.com, or by calling 253-582-5604. You can also visit my website, delphiinternational.com, to see more details. God's Kiss is a family classic that belongs in everyone's library. Get your copy now.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Welcome back, and I want you to know phone lines are open, 888-627-6008. Tomorrow we're going to be talking with Judith Lowe. We're going to be talking about meditative music for healing, and this is so very important and very special. Judith and her associates have been very, very dedicated to the study of music and healing and sounds that actually create different wavelengths in the brain that encourage the process of healing. And, of course, for any of us who have ever read about history, we all have read how in Greece there were the temples of healing with dreams and with sounds of music, and all of this is really quite old when it comes to the history of human beings. But it seems like every generation has to rediscover it. Well, with today's technology, there's more and more research, and for those of you who are regular listeners to the show, you know I've had musicians on through the years, and dealing with the tones of music is exceedingly important. So this is something that we're going to be talking about. These are two terrific ladies, and Judith is the one that's going to be speaking to us tomorrow, so I'm looking forward to that. And then we're going to be talking about the suppressed history of America. And this is something that's about Lewis and Clark, and it has to do with the murder of one of them and the phenomenal discoveries that were made that you don't hear very much about. History is amazing. It all depends on whose perspective presented that gives you a concept of what maybe was done or what was there. What's really fascinating is when many years later people come up with all kinds of different information and they say, guess what? Not everything has been told. And that's what history brings us. We're going to be also talking with the Reiki man, Dominic James. We're going to be going to London and to speak with him. Now, this is a fascinating story that involves metaphysics. It involves a lot of twists and turns that I think you'll find extremely fascinating. And then on Friday, we're going to be talking with Nora Gedgaudas. We're going to be talking about primal body, primal mind. She's done a lot of research and investigation as a nutritionist into what creates wellness. And this is something, her thoughts and her perspectives and her research are very, very interesting. And I think it's good to be able to talk about different paradigms because all of us are very unique. What works for one may not work so well for another. So that's why I like with a program to be able to present different thoughts, different applications, so that you know that you have options to work with and arenas of knowledge to explore. Donna Sebo here. If you want to give me a buzz to chat, give me a buzz at 888-627-6008. John Wooden, not being a sports buff, it was a few years ago that I found out about John Wooden, and it was actually because of an interview that I did with someone. Well, he is considered a legend among coaches, and as Sharky, my guest, said, he's been considered one of the best in history because of his attitude. He developed what's called the Pyramid of Success. And he believes strongly that success comes through solid character. And his daughter, Nan Wooden, wrote an article about her dad. And it's so poignant because I think that it really speaks to the heart of the man and the soul and essence of who he really was. He had a wonderful family and had two children. His wife passed away, and he lived 25 years after she passed away, and it was a very strong bond that the two of them had. But he had coached at UCLA from 1948 to 1975, and he led the Bruins to 10 national championships that still hold their particular records. And there's so many things that have been named after John Wooden that there are very few people that are really aware of the fact that this man became quite ill. And when his story about getting to UCLA, they say it was just by an accident. Remember what Sharkey said about being ready for opportunity when it knocks? When it says, hi, open the door, I'm waiting here for you. At the time, he really wanted to expand his career. He was coaching at Indiana State University in Terre Haute. But he really wanted to get into a bigger school. He really wanted a bigger challenge. He wanted to be able to train champions. He had thought to, maybe go to Minnesota. Now, UCLA was very interested in him. And at the time when they were considering approaching him, they were in the Pacific 8 Conference. Now, both the school, one in Minnesota and the other one UCLA, they were to make proposals to him. Well, guess what? The group at Minnesota never got in touch with him. You know why? There was a blizzard. That's right. It was a blizzard. Phone lines didn't work. See, at that time, they didn't have cell phones. Good old-fashioned landlines. Well, bad weather could knock out telephone lines back in the 40s really easily. So, because he was unaware of that fact, UCLA reached him. Because Minnesota didn't, he accepted UCLA. Accepted the Bruins offer. But when Minnesota finally did get through to him, he couldn't break his word. He said, they called me, I accepted, I'm sorry. If I'd had a chance to talk to you, that maybe would have made a difference, but I gave my word, and that's the way it's going to be. Well, his kids were teenagers, and they were very, very excited about being able to go out to Hollywood, being out in the Sunshine State and seeing all kinds of famous people. The family was very, very close, and when his wife died, that was a real big hole in his life. She took care of everything and the home. He took care of providing the income and being one of the greatest coaches in the United States. Family came first with him, though. Though he's a passionate coach, he was dedicated to his family. And when he left the court, whatever was going on with his team, the game, it stayed right there. He did not bring it home with him. And she said it was very important to him to really keep his focus on what was most important at any given time. If he was with his family, he was with them 100%. If he was involved in the game, he was involved in the game 100%. She said his famous pyramid of success, which he used to demonstrate the key building blocks to good character. She said, it was my dad's way of articulating what qualities were essential in life. Enthusiasm, cooperation, loyalty, friendship, initiative, poise, confidence, self-control. It wasn't about winning, he said, but instead working at being the very best you could be. John Wooden, a wonderful coach that left a phenomenal legacy. This is Donna Sebo. We are out of time. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You, and only you, are the captain of your soul. Have a magnificent day or evening wherever you are. We'll see you right here, same time, same place, bbsradio.com. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.